Episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I gotta say, these 2 years of Nintendo Switch. Oh boy, has it been 2 years already? Holy
yeah, I know.
Moly, do I feel old?
I'm older than you. I feel old. So I'm older than both of you. So I am very, very old. You can hear it in my voice. You can hear my voice, you dang kids. All right, and tell you it's Tyler.
Yeah, but you're not too old to join the pro wrestling tour, Todd.
No, I'm not.
I believe in you.
Thank you. Well, here's my motivation. I didn't realize this until it happened. About a month ago on the show SmackDown, they had a guy named R-Truth win the United States title. R-Truth is 47.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course, Ric Flair wrestled until his 60s, until they literally said, "Rick, just stop. We beg you." So yeah, I've got plenty of time, and I have completed a full week of training, but that's another point entirely. But anyway, I am still committed to it, and I will keep you all apprised on that. But anyway, moving on to this week's podcast, entirely Nintendo-related podcast. We are indeed celebrating 2 years of Switch, which came by the last few days on March 3rd. And we'll have our main event completely dedicated to that, but we still got some things to do before that, including, what have you been playing? I'll go first just because I also haven't been playing much. I've been playing Heroes. Obviously, I'm saving up orbs for that new banner, which I'm actually kind of excited for, the Binding Blade, which I never got to play, obviously, because it was a Japan-only release. And but still, new characters, always exciting. Non-new Kamiya / Tharja / Lin / Ephraim / every other infinitely duplicated character. I'm sure I've missed a few. So yeah, that's exciting, but Tetris 99. Oh, I am still in that pursuit of a number one victory.
Todd. Winning, Will is so good at Tetris. I am shook because, as we all know, I'm way better than you guys at Mario Kart. I'm way better than you guys at Smash.
There we go.
But Will is just a Tetris god. Like, winning in Tetris 99 is impossible. I just want to say it's impossible.
Clearly not.
And Will is a god.
No. Again, all it requires is Tetris, again, reaction, know how to place blocks, and again, just really, it's all about strategy, yo. I mean, I watch enough, like, Tetris players enough to know the basics of it and just get basically tip up a bit more of how you set up Tetris's consistent lines and to attack and defense is, like,
yeah.
One is, again, you just gotta know how to place the blocks and all about
okay, but
reaction.
Wait, how
more
do you,
just
like,
stay calm.
Do you just focus on your offense, just focus on your game, or do you try to change who you're attacking to avoid getting swamped? Because I just started trying to realize, like, I realized that when I said it to people attacking me, then we both start attacking each other, and then I'm added to their list. So I'll switch it off of attackers, and then usually the thing will go away because people, like, I'm no longer attacking them, and they are also set to attackers. But like, the question, how do you focus on who you're targeting?
That's the strategy part of it, man. Like, do you want to go for attack? It really depends on your play style. For me, I really didn't want to go for the kills. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to mind my own business, sure. But that's, unfortunately, that's also kind of it. Because if you don't get those badges, you don't have enough firepower to go against other people. That's kind of the strategy part. But like, there are times when I actually do went for KOs just because, like, at the beginning, you do want to come around and get KOs and at least back up yourself with some firepower badges. But
wait.
Sometimes
badges?
Yeah, the KO badges. Like, because once you get a KO, you do get badges on your counter. If you
right, what do
noticed.
They do?
Basically, it adds a multiplayer. So 25 up to 100%. And like, the more kills you get, the more badges you get. Basically, the more multipliers you get when you're attacking, setting trash to other players.
What?
So, like,
oh, that changes the game. Did you know that, Todd?
I kind of inferred it, and it was never spelled. See, that's the thing, right? I didn't like about Tetris 99 was that they didn't tell you anything. Like, they literally said, hey, it's Tetris, just jump in. Like, well, that's kind of a problem. But I kind of inferred it. But my strategy is, honestly, I leave it on randoms. I focus on my block because if you get the more KOs you get, then you're the target if they change their dial to KOs.
Oh, really?
So yeah.
Actually, to badges. They're
Well,
focused
it's
on
both
people
because
with
there's
badges.
one that says specifically KOs, and
I
you
see.
change
I
it to
thought
that.
KOs. See, KOs to me meant you would target the person who was closest to dying.
Yes, that is what KOs means.
Okay,
Because like
and
if
then
you play like more than
badges.
75%, if you're
And
like
then,
75% full, then yes, that you are in the KO range.
gotcha. And then badges is the people who have KO'd other people the most.
See, they don't spell that out.
So
They don't spell
that
that
makes
out.
so
Right, they had
much.
an
Oh,
E.
thank you. See, Will, I knew Will was a Tetris god. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna win Tetris 99 tonight. I'm gonna be so happy. I'm gonna share it. It's gonna be a great day.
Anyway,
When you get that first
but
victory, yeah.
in the time since my last talk, I have gotten 2 number 3 placements, which is better than my fourth place record. So I am getting there. It's just, it's Tyler, you say it's impossible to win. It's not 50. It's like that old the song: 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated iron and will, 5% pleasure, 50% playing, and 100% reason to you remember my name. But it's literally that, because I had matches where I went out in the first 10 just because everyone started targeting me. I love that tweet you did where you went, "All you people who are targeting me in Tetris 99, I hate you all." You know, because that's literally what happens. It's like if you don't get targeted, and sometimes I got targeted, but I got out of it, you'll be fine. But then other times, if you get just walloped on, you're out in the first 10. It's a lot of it is luck. But I'm also I while I'm not a Tetris god, which I'm fine with that. I would say I'm a very good Tetris player. But sometimes, I'm waiting for a piece and I get these high stacks and then I finally get the piece and then I get, whammed on by a few people and then I lose, even though I was in a perfectly good place, 15 seconds ago. But that's also why I like the game, because it's a challenge. And although I wait for the day where they update it where we could play each other in Tetris 99, it's still fun in the meantime. And it's the perfect, oh, I need to waste 5 minutes, let's play Tetris. So.
Yes, that's why I like it. It's that quick game. Although I was telling Will before the show that yesterday I was watching basketball all day and I was just playing Tetris, I think for 3 hours. I mean, however long that Lakers game was, and then the end of the Sixers game before it, which was just a tragedy. I just want to put that out there. That I just sat there and I was playing Tetris 99 for that whole time, and it was not good for my health
Hey, you
or
want to know what
my
else is
blood
a
pressure.
tragedy, Tyler?
Sorry?
You want to know what else is a tragedy?
The Sixers losing.
No, the Lakers season. All right. Anyway, so yeah, that's honestly all I've been playing. And honestly, until something else comes out, I'm gonna be playing a lot of Tetris 99. I might have to go and like replay Xenoblade Chronicles 2 because it is a glorious game,
Why
Tyler.
would you ever read that game? It is the worst game ever
It is
made.
not.
It is
Sonic
up there for a
Forces.
worst game ever.
Sonic the
Sonic Forces
Hedgehog
is
20, 2006.
okay. So Sonic Forces is definitely better, but Sonic
Ah.
2006 is definitely, I mean, and not definitely worse, but it's probably worse. It's so bad that there is some joy that you
There
can
is
get from it,
no
though.
saving that game. Okay, you can at least point
No,
to good
I'm
parts.
not okay. From a how well is it made? Xenoblade's probably better.
Oh,
Probably. I mean,
gosh.
I do think that that game was terribly made, but Sonic 06 does have that it's so bad it's fun thing,
No,
and
it's really
Xenoblade doesn't.
not.
I'll tell you one reason why. The Silver the Hedgehog fight. That camera did jack.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely torture, but also it's hilarious at how bad it
No,
was.
it's really
Meanwhile,
not.
Xenoblade
Oh
Chronicles
no.
2.
Like there's like what was that old Korean thing back in the American Idol? Yeah, like that was so bad it was good. Sure, that
Yes.
was bad time. But Sonic 06, forget about it.
Yeah,
Wait, did you say Sonic Forces or Sonic 06?
Both.
Oh, 06. I
Okay,
guess
yeah, no, I mean
forget
it was
about it.
so bad. Yeah, I wish that we could forget about it. That being said, I also wish I could get back the 40 hours that I sank into Xenoblade Chronicles 2, just waiting for it to get good. It never did. It was
Oh,
just
please.
always. Will, you didn't beat it either. I think I got further than you did.
Okay, you got that hat on me. Sure. But however, like
Yeah,
it didn't
because it
take
was
you
bad.
that
You weren't
long
hooked
to
on it.
appreciate it. And for you had to play much longer to even I don't know what's the term even get a hint of its value. For me, it only took me so little time to actually appreciate its value. So
You
ha.
we all know what you liked about it, Will. You liked Pyra's design, you liked Mithra's design,
Liked
and
a, he liked
the
a lot
other
of designs
Please
there,
do
you get
not
my
judge me
drift.
for being such a simple man. He's not judging for attack and simple stats. Like, you cannot appreciate culture, sirs.
Culture.
No, I'm just saying culture. That's why you stand up for the game, not because you actually liked the game. If you did, you might have beaten it. But
I liked the game. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5, and I stand by that review.
Firmly disagree, respectfully.
Uh-huh. Anyway, but that I honestly need to break something out because it's going to be a long wait until either Saints Row the Third. I don't know if I'll buy that again. I probably should just so I can have it again and see my name in the credits. Or let's see. I don't know if I'm going to get Mario Maker. I'm on the fence because I didn't get the first one. And I know the Maker games are only good in context because you have to want to make these levels, you know. So,
there's another side to that because, like, you could either want to make the levels themselves, sure, or you could actually play the levels themselves. So, it's kind of like the two different factors, you know?
Yeah, but it's still that you still have to want to play other people's levels. So, I don't know. And then, of course, we got Fire Emblem in July, unless they delay it again. So, yeah. All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
Naturally, just for me, I'm just kind of been playing up until Sunday night because to get ready for the Maximus Cup, which we could discuss in the news broadcast. But yeah, I gotta say, like, finally the first cup, that first major event for the first 100 people to get 999 gold points, which is basically $10. Okay, not much, but heck. Money's money, so yeah. And heck, if you thought Tetris players were gonna get more bloodthirsty, jeez, with this money prize up, yeah, get ready. So yeah, mostly based on that, and let's see, what was it? Yeah, Tetris 99. Also playing a little bit of Smash, basically continuing on the classic modes. Really nothing special there. Just finished up Wolf. Oh shoot, I completely forgot. I actually have to finish up his classic mode right now. Think about it, because I had a Toxic Spawn today. Okay,
slow down.
Dude, like, you're going 1,000 words a minute. Just slow the heck down.
sorry, I'm not Sonic, sorry. Just been on Smash Brothers, and yeah, overall, it's been a quiet day for me as well, but for me, I'm just kind of looking forward to playing Devil May Cry 5 on the PS4, which expecting a copy to come in the mail sometime soon, and just seeing the intros, all that, and Dante, I miss you. But overall, yeah, it's also been kind of quiet, sad, and all. Just briefly on Fire Emblem Heroes. Sorry. Just grinding gears, grinding orbs, and jeez, I got Legendary Roy, but yeah, unfortunately, it's a minus attack plus res, which does kind of bad taste in my mouth, unfortunately. So
yeah. And I saw you gave them money for it. Stop giving them money.
Blood sacrifice.
No. Unfortunately for me, I was kind of way too deep because I had a solid 10%.
I know. I hear that.
Too deep already.
But Will, how much money did you spend on orbs? Just honest confession. How much did you spend?
$20. $20.
Think about all the titles that you could have gotten for that $20. You could have gotten Wargroove, which is an amazing game on Switch, for $20. You could have gotten Child of Light. You could have gotten Grease. You could have gotten just Into the Breach. So many great titles that you could have enjoyed for hours, and instead. You have a minus res or minus attack Roy. That pain. You have to do what I've done and embrace, channel that pain. My dear friends, I have an announcement to make. I deleted Fire Emblem Heroes.
Whoa.
I did it. I deleted it. It is no longer on my phone. I did not delete all my data, so if I could re-download it, I would still have the card.
Yeah, all that sacrifice, huh? You don't want to delete all that blood sacrifice you did prior.
In the off chance that it gets good, I would still like to have my 40 plus 10 marked, but I don't expect to happen. I deleted it off of my phone because I was so sick of its crap. And I have not missed it in the 3 days that it's been gone. I've probably reached my phone to try to sign in maybe once or twice. So I'm off the crack. I'm off the drug. I am trying my best, and I highly recommend. And now I'm preaching the good word. When you are tempted to make a blood sacrifice, just think about the hours and hours of gameplay you could have on other titles.
That's kind of the cruel mistress of RNG for you. And heck, for good characters and good waifus, then unfortunately that's kind of where it got my hooks on me. So yes, sue me. But apparently for you, it's kind of like with Elsa, you let it go.
You can't let it go because you keep making blood sacrifices.
I'm talking about Tyler's situation.
Right.
Not
he's like, I've
myself,
let it go. He's still stuck in the pit. But you know, uh-huh. I mean, I will always be here where the hand extended will. So you know, you ever need help, you just let me know. I will, assuming that I don't fall back to the dark side.
Well, good luck with that, because once they announced what wedding Camilla, then I'm already far so deep. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for you, but I understand. I have been playing, as you can tell, Tetris 99, and a little bit of Wargroove here and there. I haven't gotten to play a whole ton of video games this week. I think I did a couple of battles on Wargroove.
Also, like, yeah, regarding to Wargroove, didn't they have an update just recently?
It did. It did. It just had a big update, actually. They added a ton of quality of life changes. I think the biggest one that stood out to me just from my brief time with the game was that you could skip battle scenes and cutscenes faster, which used to be really annoying. Like, you turn on the game and you had to wait like 6 seconds or so to get the menu screen to open up, which obviously not a big deal. It's just every time I turn the game on, I'm like, why do I have to wait through this? But yeah, so that was good. They made the UI much more user-friendly. One of the big problems that I had with it was trying to figure out what units were effective against which. You press B on it and you can see like this whole big chart of who they're effective against. But the artwork, they just use the artwork and you can't touch it to see what the name of the unit is. And it's just a tiny little sprite of their head. And sometimes you can't tell what unit it actually is. And they've improved that. So it's a big update. And I'm excited to continue to play. It seems like a lot of quality of life stuff. You can tweak the difficulty. But yeah, Wargroove's a really, really good game. I think I'm in act 3 of the campaign right now. I'm trying to do one of the submissions. The main missions, you always use Mercia, the main character, but then each submission you use different characters. I'm on one with Cesar the dog, which is hilarious. The dog, they do just great dialogue with the dog. Everybody stops and says, "Oh, it's a good boy," and they just totally kind of break the fourth wall into dog loving. But I appreciate it. Also, the dog units don't die; they just run away when they get beat, whereas the humans get grisly murdered. Also a good touch. So I have been loving that game, but I haven't played it a whole ton this week, and of course dabbling with Smash here and there, as I will be for a very long time. I wanted to get through every character, and I got to Captain Falcon, which is 11 in. That's not bad. I kind of, you know, I'm proud that I got that far, but I've slowed down on my exploration and have really just kind of sunk my teeth into Ness and Marth, my classic mains, Marth, Ness. They are my favorite characters, so I really like, if I were to dedicate more time to the game, I would probably go back to experimenting more, but right now I'm only playing a match here and a match there, and I'm just going with those two guys. I hope that they buff Marth so much. He's still good, like, he shouldn't be buffed, honestly. If they buff him, he'll be overpowered, but I just wish he was better than Lucina. It just makes me sad that not. That's going to be a trend in this episode. There's just a lot of sadness for me, just a lot of despair.
Oh, I just recalled I was at a Comic-Con this past Saturday, and I did really well there, but they had a Smash Brothers booth. So naturally, I went and I repped NEP there.
Well done.
Thank you. So here's what happened. So I go in, and this guy, as I was soon to find out, was a former professional Smash Brothers player. I mean, this was a guy who literally traveled around to do tournaments, right? And so he told me, like, before we fought, "Hey, if you win, you'll get a t-shirt." I'm like, okay. So I bust out Ike, you know, represent, and I lose. But there's something odd about how I lost. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And so after I lost, I go, "Hey, great fight." And this was a close fight, too, but I lost, you know, really close. And I go, "I, you know, I was kind of joking before. I'm honestly only decent. I mean," and then he told me about the whole, like, I was a professional player. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm glad I got, you know, that far with you then." So we did another match, and it was with Link, and I lost. And I was like, okay, something is wrong here, because it's not my skill that's getting me to lose. And then we're doing another match, and I press the up button, and Link doesn't jump. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is Link not jumping? I'm doing the up motion. He goes, "Oh, you probably unintentionally set the control scheme to not have that button
jump off."
Yeah, so I lost those first two matches, and then he canceled the third one because it was you know, not right. And so I technically lost only because of the jump button, because two of my Ike deaths in that first match was because I wasn't able to get close enough to the
I think
thing.
it's funny you didn't realize right away, like, wow, like that's the first, whenever I play a game and I forget to switch my name to my controls, I'm always like, the first 2 seconds, like, oh crap, do I have to, you like, are we even gonna play through this?
Well,
but
it's
you're
just
just out here grinding your gears, like
I
trying to
never had
tough
to
it
think
out.
about that. I never changed the control scheme. I always make do with what I got.
Yeah,
And
I guess
so
that makes sense.
it never occurred to me to think that this the control scheme, which apparently had a name that I didn't notice at the time, was different. It never occurred to me. So we switched to control scheme, and then after that, I lost every match. So,
Yeah.
but I at least I can at least say that I came close, but he was really good. His Pikachu was so annoying. All right, he was doing swarming attacks and everything. But when I was those first two matches, I honestly had him. But if it wasn't for that dang jump button, I totally would have killed him. So, oh well.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pikachu is definitely one of those characters that when you played a good Pikachu, you could be in for some juggles, because his combo game is ridiculously good.
All right, so it's been a little bit of a lighter week, but we do have some interesting news bits to talk about leading up to our main event. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, obviously, we are all still pretty high on the Pokemon news that we got last week. Was it last week or was it 2 weeks ago?
It was last week.
Yeah, it was
It was
last
last
week,
week. That's
yeah.
what I thought it was. It's been one of those leaks, you know? It's been a long couple of weeks, but we're still pretty high on the news, but in the midst of that, Sensor Tower found out that all the Pokemon mobile games that have the ability to get money combined have grossed $2.5 billion. Just the mobile games.
Oh. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Now, would you like to guess which was the best money maker?
I gotta go with like
I
Pokemon
wonder.
Pocket Adventure.
No.
Ah, darn.
Will, would you like to make a guess?
I was about to say Dragalia Lost, but
That's not a
I think
Pokemon game, moron!
I don't know. Sorry,
That's
sorry.
not even
I was thinking something
funny.
else. I was
Not
thinking
even
about something
funny.
else. Sorry.
Okay, Pokemon Go.
No, actually, it was Pokemon Magikarp Jump by 2 million.
Oh, wow. Pokemon Magikarp Jump. Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
No, it doesn't. It was Pokemon Go by a landslide. Not so ironically, Pokemon Go accounted for 98% of all the money made by these mobile games.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
No, it's
I
not.
actually I'm kind of surprised that it's not 99%. Like,
No.
it's hard to be surprised by 98, and yet I'm kind of surprised by 98.
Well, the other one was Pokemon Shuffle, which was actually the mobile game that came out before Go, if you recall.
That's when I was trying to think of
No.
Shuffle.
Yeah, and then Magikarp Jump, Quest, Duel, and the official trading card game all came up, behind that. But here's an honest to goodness surprise. In terms of the money gotten in this 2.5 billion, 875 million of it was from America, while only 725 million was from Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you'd think that Japan, given its connection to Pokemon and Nintendo, would be the higher grocer, kind of like what happens with Fire Emblem Heroes.
Right,
Japan is
and mobile gaming in
consistent.
general is
Yeah.
just tends to be bigger there, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they but combined, obviously, they account for $1.6 billion worth of which honestly to me seems low, but I guess England is probably another big one, and
Yeah,
Australia, maybe
right.
China.
Europe is a bigger market than you give it credit for.
Really? I wouldn't have thought of that, but I mean, I knew it was one of the big three. It's America, UK, Japan, but I
Yeah.
just didn't think in terms of mobile gaming. But I guess, with Pokemon
Yeah,
Go
when I say you,
especially.
I don't mean you specifically, so I mean just general, the general you, because I
You
also
people?
often overlook Europe.
Yeah. You saying you people? What do you mean,
Yes,
you
you
people?
people. All of you, I'm pointing the finger at.
But still, like, this is just proof of how great Pokemon is doing as a whole. Because it doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. And of course now we got Sword and Shield to look forward to this year, which is going to be a mega hit. It's
I
gonna
am
it's
so excited for that. My hype for Sword and Shield has only gone up since we last talked about it. I'm
Yeah.
ready for Pokemon Sword and Shield. I wish it were coming out sooner.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a game that we can enjoy this holiday, that's for certain. So, yeah, but it with this, I'm happy for Nintendo, even though technically Pokemon Go isn't under their thing, but still, it's an impressive feat that they've done, that just the mobile games of Pokemon have gotten $2.5 billion. And of course Pokemon Go is about to celebrate, 3 years of life as of June, it's a lot. Props to you, Nintendo. Props to you. And from grossing money to engrossing stories, let's talk Mortal Kombat 11.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. If you haven't seen, Mortal Kombat 11 got a new story trailer. And in it, they confirmed, at least partially confirmed, a lot of the characters that are going to be in the roster.
They were all from that leak that we talked about last week.
They were? Okay, I'd have to go back and listen, but I remember you mentioning some of them, but anyway. But the story trailer basically revealed that Kronika, who is the mastermind behind what is going to happen in the story, she's actually not a good person. She's actually quite evil, and she's working with Shao Kahn. And so they're bringing in back past versions of the old characters to either help her get to the timeline to where she wants it, or they don't, and they're fighting against her, and it's just so insanely crazy, and there are so many characters. It's, really hard to, you can pause and catch, little glimpses of who all is there, and they're mimicking past moments, they're mimicking future moments, and the greatest thing on God's, okay, I can't say God's green, because this is another realm, on Earth realm, is they put Johnny Cage with Johnny Cage in a conversation.
yes.
It's like, yes. Can someone tell me what the heck is going on here? I know, right? I've been here for 1 hour and haven't seen a single jetpack. Not one! And the look at on future Johnny's face when he says, he's like, was I really that much that arrogant? Yes, Johnny! Yes, you were! So,
yeah. Yeah, I like that Mortal Kombat 9 Johnny Cage costume better than I like his current one, too. I think it's more him.
Well, I mean, Johnny's older now. He's not a movie star anymore, so.
Well, I don't know. Is he still? He was still. I mean,
they do the final Smash, but he's clearly not like what he used to be, where he's like the Johnny Cage. I mean, at least not that's how I. Because he's got a 20-year-old daughter who has been confirmed to be coming back. So.
And her fatality was so cool. I loved Cassie Cage.
It was
in
quick.
Mortal Kombat 10. I was a fan. I love the heart, though, at the end. That was very funny.
It was definitely creative, though. I gotta give props to Mortal Kombat X going to the whole selfie and Instagram page back for Cassie Cage. That was
good. That was actually better. You're right. You're not wrong. That one was better. The when they had the feed coming through and Sonya would write, who let you out that late?
Yeah. Right. It was pretty hilarious, that one.
I like the sass. I said sass. Of Cassie, because she's embracing more of her father's personality. Like when she descends and goes, sup, blows a bubble.
Yeah.
She's very definitely her father's daughter. Oh, Cassie. I don't think this will be in the cutscenes, but I want a scene of younger Johnny Cage meeting Cassie, and he's like, wait a minute, you had a daughter? With who? And he points to Sonya, and he's like, you got with her? Wait, I got with her? Dang!
That's gonna be interesting. I want to really see how NetherRealm Studios is gonna handle that script thing. Yeah. Of course, it seems to me that Mortal Kombat 11 has gotta be also playing a lot of trivia, including some great fan service to classic games. So yes,
again,
so
Johnny
I really can't wait
Johnny.
To see the script.
So,
yeah.
And then I want Sonya to walk in and Rhonda to go, why did I marry you again? And then he, future Johnny gives her a look. He goes, shut up, Johnny. So, fan service. But, yeah, trust me, this is going to be the most insane Mortal Kombat story in history, bar none. And that's saying something, because they've gone pretty crazy before. But in terms of new characters or returning characters, we saw Aaron Black. We saw Revenant Katana. Yeah. I have a cosplay friend. She took one look at her, and I go, she goes, I must be this cosplay. So,
nice.
Who else did we see? We saw,
Jackie Briggs.
Yeah, Jackie Briggs.
Yeah.
Kotal Kahn. Yeah, Kotal Kahn. That was a surprise. Shang Tsung, I heard named. So,
Aaron Black.
I said that.
Yeah, Aaron.
So,
no, he did.
Yeah, I did. So yeah, just go watch the trailer. Look for every single,
Kung Lao?
character.
Did you mention Kung Lao?
Yeah, Kong
Oh,
Lao's
Kung
back. Kong
Lao.
was
Well,
back.
Kung Lao was already confirmed because they had this the in the first trailer they showed the scene where Liu Kang and Kung Lao are facing off against Scorpion, and the Scorpion like literally dabs away in the fiery pillar. So yeah, he was already confirmed. But it's
That
nice to
helps the
see.
Captain Toad Taylor. He loves Kung Lao. Kung
Yeah.
Lao is his guy.
Well, Kung Lao has one of the most brutal fatalities in the history of the world, where he spins his hat, throws it into the crowd, and buzz saws. Well, you know the rest. So,
Yeah, not ideal.
not ideal. That's a terrible way to go. So.
Yes, and groin first, which is even more horrible.
Yeah, I like how Todd tried to have some about it. Will was like, "No, I'm
Yep.
not."
He's like, well, we all know what Will's like. So yeah, no filter there. Moving on. But seriously, again, Mortal Kombat comes out April 23rd, so be ready for that. And then there's going to be more confirmations to come. So, all right, moving on. Okay, this one isn't confirmed per se, but there was a posting that said that the original Fire Emblem game, like the one that came out on the Famicom, is coming to Famicom Online, and so many are speculating whether it could come to Nintendo's Switch Online.
They're not cool enough to do that, sadly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure because, like, I've been hearing some things like it's probably only going to be exclusive to the Japanese Nintendo Online services. But again,
Which they
since
have
it
done.
is a Japanese release, yes. But whether or not bring it here west side, that's going to be the question to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we're if they got Kid Icarus or not. I mean, I think they probably
Ugh.
did. But yeah, I mean, we could download it. It would just be in all Japanese. So, I mean, you could definitely get the Japanese version of the Nintendo Switch Online app if you create a Japanese account, considering, the Switch is
Yeah.
no longer region locked. But it's unlikely that I, in my opinion, I mean, I do think maybe we could see Earthbound Beginnings come because that release for Wii U, it's already been translated. That's possible. But I don't
True.
think we'll be seeing any other Japanese kind of exclusive games.
True. I mean, it would make sense because of the great given how Fire Emblem started, with it being just Japanese for a while until we got the Blazing Sword port on GBA. So, I would understand it. But then again, to all Smash Brothers players, we listened to Marth speak Japanese for years. So, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world to hear him speak Japanese again.
Yeah.
And we have a story on that a little bit later on.
I'm tempted to like I'm sure if I downloaded it, I could pull up what a translated version of the game looks like and I could just learn the menus that way and just read the cutscenes through the translation. Like I am tempted to download it anyway.
So, but it's interesting, and I will say this: if it does get translated and it does come over, I'm totally downloading it. I have Nintendo Switch Online. I will totally download it and enjoy the original Fire Emblem in all its, 16-bit glory.
Eight
So,
bit.
it was it 8-bit? Yeah, I guess.
Classic.
Yeah,
Classic game.
classic
Just classic game.
Famicom, right? All right. So, moving on to Tetris 99 Maximus. All right. So here's what's going on. So there is going to be a tournament, an official Nintendo tournament for Tetris 99. The tournament is going to start on March 8th at 5 a.m. PST, which is really early. Okay. Anyway, the goal is to log on to Tetris 99 and come in first place as many times as possible. Will. If you do, you will have a chance to win 999 Nintendo Gold Points.
Or
Now.
equally $10, yes, about.
Just roll with it, Will. Okay, roll with it. Anyway, so the winners will be selected based on how many wins they've accumulated during the contest period, which goes until March 10th at 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. And then, yeah, so Nintendo states in the rules they'll be picking 999 winners, so there are plenty of chances for everyone to win. Basically, $10,000 is going to be given out between the winners. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, hopefully Will gave me the tips to win before it's too late because I now that I'm armed with the tools, I'm prepared to win, but I might not have the skill.
Well,
I
just
may
gonna
be
be expected.
too far behind.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that they expect to be much more cutthroat because there is a prize to win for this now. And I mean, I was just more or less lucky with my 5 wins. So, like, yeah, 5 wins right now. I just can't imagine how the competition is gonna be in this coming weekend, honestly. So,
All
yeah, definitely practice up this. Yeah, practice up right now. Yeah.
right, moving on. Of course, best of luck to everyone who plays Tetris, except for Will. I want him to burn. No, I don't care. I'll just gonna be I'm just gonna be happy when I get that first, 'cause I got close with my number three. It's just I was too far behind at that point, but I think I can get it one day. Anyway, so moving on, the Daemon X Machina demo. If you recall, it's been out since the last Nintendo Direct, not the Pokemon one, the full one. And however, it will not be on there for much longer. On March 11th, it's going to be taken down. So this was confirmed by the Japanese Twitter handle for the game. And so if you haven't downloaded it, do so before the deadline, because you're going to want to play it. And then, of course, Marvelous wants your feedback on it. And you know, so if you want to help make this game better, by all means. And again, I played it, I enjoyed it. It does need some refining, especially in the graphics department. But you know, it's got a lot of potential. Koopa Keith played it. He loves it, but he was always an Armored Core guy, so you know that's neither here nor there. But yeah, they've been killing it with these demos. This is a good demo. Go try it out. It's gonna be remember, it's an exclusive to the Nintendo Switch, so got until the 11th to go download it. So go do so. Tyler, did you ever play it? I know you said you downloaded it.
No, I still have it downloaded, so you know, I'm glad
Just keep it
to.
in your Switch just in case. Just keep it in your
Right,
Switch, yeah.
exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, I've been meaning to check it out, but I have not yet.
So, but again, you got until the 11th to do so. So, do so. All right, Will.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
More
Yes, yes.
Persona 5 Switch rumors. Okay, so we're supposed to be getting this big Persona unveil event later this month, and a lot of people are, like we talked about a few weeks ago, they're saying it's going to be the Persona fighting game that Tyler was mentioning. But another report from a key Persona leaker says, and I quote, "Atlus will release Persona 5 as Persona 5S on Switch and PS4 fall this year." So take that as you will, but given that it's, you know, the S obviously means like special edition, I think this is plausible, and this guy has a history of being right about Persona news, and so it's clear that Nintendo wants Persona on their system. Maybe hopefully they'll get it.
I feel like it would definitely lead very well. We're going to like aligning to Joker's release on Smash Brothers, and plus, yeah, like if anyone has been here for the fan of Persona series, basically there's been the later versions, basically a Persona 3 Reincarnation, Persona 3 Portables, yeah, the golden versions. It always has that extra expanded version on it. So Persona 5S, I wonder if it's like, I don't know, Persona 5 Scarlet or some of that sort. Who knows?
So we've heard of these rumors for a long time, and again, until I hear from Nintendo or Atlus, either one, I'm not gonna believe it. But they just keep coming, so it makes me wonder, because we know Persona 5R is coming. That's the alleged fighting game, and Persona 5S could be like the special edition with either DLC or improvements to the game based on feedback. So it's definitely possible, especially now that Joker's in Smash Brothers. But you know, we I'm wait I will wait until Nintendo or Atlus to confirm. So, but if it does, it'd be another big third-party port to the Switch, which I approve. So.
And just a compliment on the Persona 5 news as well. Persona news as well. Also, Alice has informed on Twitter as well that the Persona Q2 New Sinnoh Labyrinth Special Edition will be only has a little bit of supply left. So if you haven't pre-ordered it yet right now, yeah, might as well pre-order quickly because they said on Twitter they will not make any more supplies after this run. So please pre-order if you want that special edition Persona Q2 New Sinnoh of Love for Nintendo 3DS. So
There you go.
yes.
All right. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to honor the memory of Sonic the Hedgehog. He was such a legendary video game character. He was a movie star in Wreck-It Ralph and Wreck-It Ralph 2. And then there was the live action movie where a leaked image literally destroyed the internet.
Some would say he was the best character in Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Don't push it. Don't push it. Don't push it at all. All right. Anyway, the leaked image destroyed the internet. It made fans lose faith in Sonic the Hedgehog, and even our own Tellius Tyler is still in mourning. So allow us a moment of silence as we remember the true Sonic the Hedgehog, not the monstrosity that is coming to your movie screen. A moment, please. You suck, Sonic! What the heck is this?
That was tactful, though, Todd. I appreciate that. You handled it appropriately. I mean, when I tell you that I, like, when I saw it, my reaction was not anger. It wasn't shock. I was just genuinely really sad.
Yeah, you were.
I was just so sad because I don't know if I've ever told you guys I love Sonic.
No, I don't think you ever mentioned that.
It just to see this iconic and legendary character who made up my childhood, who had such a profound impact on my youth, just be dragged through the mud by Paramount and Sega. I'm not letting Sega off the hook because they had to approve of this. It's just, it is honestly heartbreaking. And then my sadness did turn to anger, as the stages of grief do. You know, I went through the, I don't think it's real. It's not. And then there was the, I'm sure maybe at the stages slipped here, but then there was definitely the sadness, the grief. And then there was the denial of the, or then there was the anger. We're at the anger phase. I am so just furious that this is allowed. I want them to pull the movie like they should. This design is just, it doesn't look like Sonic at all. Like,
no.
It just doesn't even look
oh,
like
no.
the character. Like, why are they branding it? Like, why are they doing this? Who told them that this was a good idea? I mean, somebody sat down and said, that's a good idea. Like, that person, honestly, is the stupidest person on the face of the planet. Like, that person is so dumb that I pity them. And I would love to wish suffering upon them, but I don't. They have my genuine pity for being so bad at their job. That being said, I am even more annoyed by, and again, I own this on Twitter. I am just being overly sensitive because I have an attachment to Sonic, but all these people, specifically the I watched this Game Explained video where they were just bashing Sonic, and I was just angry. I listen to Ash Paulson be like, this is going to be such a train wreck. I'm so excited to see it. Like, I wonder how he would feel if Mega Man had a huge movie that was hoping to revive the franchise and bring him back to mainstream, only to have it just completely defecate upon the character. He probably wouldn't like it very much. And he's out here just gleefully cheering. I am so angry. I unsubscribed from Game Explained to stick it to them. And I am just so mad and just so upset about this. I cannot tell you. The memes are just a small kind of comfort because they are very funny.
Look, now, let's be honest here. Okay. We all knew that they had a tough job. Okay. Because they wanted to bring Sonic the Hedgehog to live action in a way that was meaningful, true to the character, and yet, you know, evolving. And I understand that. I understand that they couldn't just do a one-to-one interpretation, like clearly what they're going to do with Mario, but Mario is also an animated film. So, you know, that was a big thing. But the problem is, it doesn't look like Sonic. Alright? And here's the saddest part. Okay, we all know the internet is full of trollers and memers and everything, and they were waiting for something like this to happen. But when a person could take the leaked full image of Sonic as we have seen him, and then just alter it slightly to keep all the blue fur, fine, keep, you know, some of the aesthetic, fine, but actually make it look like Sonic, and it clearly took him less than an hour.
Right.
That's sad. So, it's just I don't know, but it's not Sonic.
Right.
It's not Sonic.
Yeah, I just gotta say, like, when I first look at it, I was like, okay, we have a realistic Pokemon. Okay, that's fine. A furry Pikachu? That's great. The furry Jigglypuff? Okay. Lickitung? Great. We're going to the point of, like, where Hollywood's putting realism into all these, like, great character, video game characters that we know and love. Fine. But Sonic? I mean, Hollywood, what the heck are you doing? Like, I know you want to go for hyper realism, but this is, like, this is not Sonic, boy! I mean, like, Sonic is, okay, like, if anything else, Ice is like, yeah, I would stick with the cartoon. I said, for all I care. Heck, you CG! I'll take that! I'm sorry, but this is, like, an abomination of Sonic.
It is.
Heck, I'm almost over to the point I'd rather take Uganda Knuckles as the movie, as far as I'm concerned, because that was at least somewhat respectful. But
remember
no.
Sonic Boom redesigns, when those got revealed? I remember I was sitting at the airport when I first saw them. And, like, they were like, it was, oh my gosh, this is so bad. I can't believe how bad this is. And I was among the people like, wow, I can't believe how bad this is. And yet that looked like, in like, just so good. compared to what this looks like. And
Mm-hmm.
this
Exactly,
design's a
exactly.
I mean, here's the thing: the biggest difference between Sonic, let's just say, I don't know, 2006 Sonic, even though the game was terrible, it was still a good Sonic model. You know,
yes,
the
it
difference
was.
between Sonic 2006 and Sonic Boom was that they extended his legs and they gave him a scarf. All right, the biggest change was Knuckles, which honestly, you know, it was different, sure, but it enforced that he was the powerhouse, which I'm fine with, but. This is not that. This is I don't even know what it is. It's like, it's anything I can say bad about Detective Pikachu, this is worse.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah. I
did
Detective
not like.
Pikachu, they look like the characters.
I still agree to disagree on that. But I didn't like some of the fur in some of the characters in Detective Pikachu, like Pikachu, Jigglypuff, Psyduck especially. But even that is not as bad as that Sonic the Hedgehog. All right, terrible, terrible. And I remember that there was a post that was made. Even the creator of Sonic was like, "What is this?
Yeah,
when the creator is not on your side, you in trouble."
Okay. I mean, you think about it. The Mario movie when that came out in the 90s, Nintendo could afford to just ignore it and just laugh it off as though it's nothing, not a big deal. Who cares? Because Mario was such a strong brand at the time.
Yeah,
Sonic is not in that position right now. You know, he has been through the mud. He's had some good moments and some really bad ones in the past 20 years. And you thought Sonic 06 was rock bottom. Like, it couldn't get worse.
Sonic Boom, The Rise of Lyric.
Yeah, I mean, see, even that was like a spin-off game. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. It was a low point, true. But I wouldn't put it on 06's level. Regardless, this is worse than both of those.
Yeah, worse. It's then there was the first leak was just images of Sonic the Hedgehog, and then there was an image of him running, and it looks even worse. And then that one got memed to high heaven, including a wonderful Drake and Josh meme. So, and I'd be screaming if Sonic the Hedgehog was chasing me, and I had to look at that. So yeah. Again, here's
the only good thing that could come from this. Is it might be so bad that Sega needs to give us Sonic Adventure 3 with a Chao Garden to make up for it. Like, the only thing that could possibly make up for it is Sonic Adventure 3 and a Chao Garden.
Here's the bottom line. Fans made Sonic Mania, and Sega approved it, and it was, an amazing game. Sonic Forces was made by Sonic Team, and it was bad. Fans were okay with the Sonic live action movie, and they proved that it could look good in live action, but not the studio that's actually making the movie. So yeah. I think this proves that fans understand Sonic the Hedgehog more than Sonic Team does.
Oh, they do. They absolutely do. I mean, it goes all the way back to the founding of Sonic, where Sega of Japan just had a different vision than Sega of America, and they just never were able to truly understand the character. But yeah, it's really frustrating.
It is. All right. So, okay. We've been talking a lot about ports on the Nintendo Switch. We just got easily the oldest port in Switch history. Turok 64 and Turok 2 are coming to the Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember playing those games. It was violent.
Yeah. I'm just very old right now because I still remember the advertising back with Turok 64 back in the day. It's like, wow.
Yep. I remember playing the game. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what Turok was. I was at my cousin's house in Indiana, my cousin Jared, who was actually the one who gave me Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, but that's another story. So I'm playing Turok. I'm in this, jungle wilderness thing, and all of a sudden I see a guy running towards me. I'm like, oh, this is nice. A guy's running towards me. And then he starts stabbing me. I'm like, why is he stabbing me? And Jared's like, shoot him already. memories. Why Turok? I mean, seriously, but Turok. Why? It's not even a new Turok game. I'm sure fans would love a new Turok game, potentially, possibly, hopefully. But one that was on the N64 era? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No. Hey, if you're into thing, by all means.
Well, I mean, granted, the Dino Shooters is definitely a rare genre, if anything else. I mean, ever since back the time of Dino Crisis, which I've seen my cousins play before. But, yeah, bring Turok to Nintendo. I mean, Turok is kind of one of those interesting titles. I mean, definitely not the greatest of titles. I mean, obviously I could compare it to like GoldenEye, but that was the best shooter I could play back
Golden
when the
Eye.
era.
I remember that too.
So if they ever bring GoldenEye, then that's something
Okay.
to
Okay. Hold
celebrate
on.
about.
Be clear here. 64 GoldenEye, not the remake.
Yes.
All right. Just
Yeah,
gotta be clear.
64, 64, of course, of course, of course.
All right. So, oh wow. All right, moving on. Okay, Sakurai. Yeah. So Sakurai's been doing these interviews all over the place with Famitsu and Nintendo Dream, and his latest one was very revealing because he revealed that he worked on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate with an IV in his arm.
Daddy Sakurai, I know we love you and all that, but please stop killing yourself over your work, man. We love you. We don't want to lose you quickly already. Jeez.
So, I mean, oh gosh. I
Yeah,
mean,
I don't
this
know.
is.
I just don't feel comfortable with this story, to be honest. Like, I don't even know where to go with it. Like, I think about it, I'm like, I'm not happy that he did that. And I don't like the idea that people are glorifying that he did that. Like, wow, well, he's so dedicated to his craft.
Well, he is.
He is, true. That's why I'm really not sure where to go with it, because it's not like I'm not gonna say, like, oh, I don't like you for doing that, but I don't know. It just makes me feel weird, like in the game, thinking, "Wow, somebody like really hurt themselves to make this." Like, it just doesn't make you feel good.
Just to let you some cultural context, because like over in Japan, like their work culture is like deadly serious, almost to the point because there is literally a term that says they literally work themselves to death
Yeah.
if it calls to it. And like, unfortunately, that is one part of the culture in Japan that's definitely needs more attention, because like there are companies that will like. Of course, there's obviously the crunch time, especially in the game industry today. But I feel like Japan is definitely one of those places that, yeah, unfortunately, working to death is unfortunately a commonplace, which really it should not be. Because here, even here in the Western side, like we have mandatory off days, so it's kind of like that cultural discrepancy that's also like very, very eye-opening. Yes.
I mean, for me, it's that he even said himself that because of, he's technically a freelancer, which is hilarious when you think about the importance of Sakurai at Nintendo. But he is a freelancer, and he said, "I could just, show up an hour a week and no one would say anything." But he himself refused to do that because he wanted to make the best game possible. And so that's why he made that joke at that one Nintendo Direct about, "I wonder if I'll ever get a day off." He did eventually get a day off. He actually took the 3 days of Christmas off to before, after, and during. So that was nice. But yeah, Sakurai, just you gotta take care of yourself, okay? Ultimate's out. The DLC will take care of itself. Just take care of you, okay? We don't want you to go yet. Oh gosh.
Right. We lost Iwata, the later Iwata. We lost Reggie. We don't need another one of the like, well, we have some
Yeah,
Shigeru
we
Miyamoto,
have
but we don't
Miyamoto
need another
still.
one of the trifecta. We don't need
Yeah.
to lose another main member. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then he was talking about like boss fights and how spirits got in, and it's fascinating stuff, including he initially wanted Dracula to get decapitated, but violence.
Yeah.
So, because that's what happens in the original game. So, and then the Kirby boss, what was his name?
Marks.
Marks, yeah, I literally lost it when I saw Marks in the game, and he's told like that was the tame version of Marks because Sakurai told him to make him like a horror villain.
Yeah, he is a horror villain.
He is a horror villain, but he was supposed to be even scarier in Ultimate, and I'm like,
Oh,
wow,
that would have been awesome.
that would have been awesome. So, but yeah, so Sakurai, just take care of yourself, and we'll take care of the rest. And finally, Devil May Cry 5 could come to Switch.
Oh.
Could come. Could. The team has noted that they are big fans of the Switch, that they want games to be ported to the Switch, and there is they didn't say it's confirmed or they're teasing it or anything, but they say that they would love to bring it to the Nintendo Switch. But they're not saying that it's coming out or, it's an immediate plan for the future. So, but given the popularity and the early reviews, including our review, which is out now, if it's popular enough and they think they could make even more money off of it, I think they could do it.
Like obviously it probably won't be running on the same engine, because like RE2 engines was like very great, like very beautiful, if say at least facial animations, like They use the same facial scans that you did in RE2 and RE7. So, like, bring it, I mean, porting it to the Switch is definitely going to prove it to be a challenge, to say the least. If they decide to do so.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it came. I mean, Dante has definitely been a character that is brought up in Smash Bros. Rumors a lot, so perhaps, you know, if they do bring Persona, this could be like they could like for all the third party DLC characters, they could all kind of coincide with the surprising launch of their title. That'd be pretty cool. That would be the one thing that would get me really excited for it.
So again, it's not confirmed. They're not saying it's happening, but the team clearly loves the Switch, which is almost a universal theme. And so if they love it, never know. Again, they just brought in Turok, so come on. If they could bring in Turok, let's bring in Devil May Cry 5. Clearly, it's the same thing. Oh, shut up, Will. All right. So main event time, as we've noted. It has been now over 2 years since the arrival of the Nintendo Switch, and it's been a very interesting 2 years. A lot of highs, we've had some lows, we've had some indecision, we've had a lot of Nintendo Directs, and a lot of sales both in hardware and software. And so it's time to reflect. It's time to talk about our favorite memories of the system, and it's time to enter the Temple of Time. Right, so I think we can do two rounds of memories, and I'll start. So I want to talk about, ironically, something that happened before the Switch came out, and that was the January reveal event that happened in 2017. And this really set the stage for what the Switch is going to be. They revealed Odyssey there. They revealed Xenoblade Chronicles 2 there. ARMS was there. I think they teased Splatoon 2. I can't remember. And they were doing everything to do it right. But while we were all doing the Outer Haven Twitch stream, all of us were wondering where the heck is Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, and would it be the launch title that we all hoped it would be? And finally, at the end, after they release the price point, they go, "We got one more announcement," and they played the greatest Legend of Zelda trailer I think that's ever been created. All right, ever. Period. Bottom line. All right, the voice acting, the graphics, the look, the cutscenes that they did, the ending with Link pulling up the broken Master Sword, saying that I basically saying I'm not going to stop fighting, and then the reveal that it was a launch title. It was. We were all screaming. I was screaming. Will was screaming. We were all like, "Oh my gosh, it's finally coming. It's a launch title. This is perfect." And if you somehow weren't a fan of Breath of the Wild before then, that trailer sold you because it was everything we could have hoped it would be and more. And then the game lived up to that hype every way except the weapons breaking and the weather system. That was but not bitter at all. Not bitter at all about the lightning. Yes, I am. So like I will always remember just that feeling. I was so energized after that trailer. I was just loving everything about it because it was just so good, and it made me excited and eager for the next 2 months to go by so that I could get the Nintendo Switch. And we ordered, we noticed this last week, all three of us ordered our Nintendo Switches during that press conference. And we were all lucky because they sold out not long after.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a
So.
great time for the Outer Haven crew, yes.
Yeah. So, I will always remember that trailer. And even though I'm excited for Link's Awakening, what do we want to call it? Remake, remastered, whatever.
Yeah.
I still think that at least until the next pure, true Zelda title comes out. And I'm not saying Link's Awakening is not a true Zelda title, but that was on the Game Boy. This is a remake. Breath of the Wild is the standard for the Nintendo Switch, and that's why it was the perfect launch title for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean that Switch reveal event was very divisive in hindsight. I didn't understand it. I felt like it was great watching it live, but having Breath of the Wild be revealed as the launch title was such a huge and exciting moment. I think that especially for Nintendo fans, that was kind of the signal to me that they knew what they were doing with this console.
So, again, I will always remember that trailer, and good stuff. All right, Will, how about you? What's your first favorite Nintendo Switch memory the first 2 years?
Oh man, it's like for me, it's definitely got. I gotta give props to like when I went to that Nintendo New York First Impressions event back in the day. Like after the first presentation, is like yeah, have that time to actually try out the Switch for the first time, like playing 1-2-1-2 Switch, playing Breath of the Wild again, all these games, including Splatoon 2. It's like, heck, I still really love that. Like that sense of wonder, just like how the system was basically gonna be, like the first year of it all. And yeah, I just love it. Including like the times I had playing with Tuan X, and also saw Etika playing 1-2 Switch, and especially the Quick Draw, and of course like the milking game, which is obviously a great moment for anybody. And is like overall, I guess it's just that first honeymoon year of like getting such a great game, Breath of the Wild, and then after that, Odyssey. It's just like definitely like that honeymoon year. Just it really is no, I can't really narrow it down. It's just like that honeymoon, that initial year was just absolutely great. Great titles, smash hit year, month after month, like from ARMS to 1-2 Switch to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is like. I just had such great experience with it, and especially with like Mario Odyssey. But overall, like I guess like my favorite thing from these 2 years is just again that honeymoon period of like great games that we got, especially Breath of the Wild and Odyssey. Those games were just spectacular.
I did not expect you to say that because I was actually going to say the same kind of thing, that the anticipation in that first 6 months or so, it just felt like there was Christmas came every 6 weeks or every 4 weeks at the end, that there was a new big game that was coming out and they were all fun and they all lived up to the hype. Yeah, I mean that's a good, definitely a great memory. And I think that now coming into the third year of the Switch's life, we've kind of gotten away from that and have started thinking much more of, okay, like, I mean that set the table for such a great experience that it was just expected, wow, this is always going to be this way. And now that there's always a lot of worrying of what's going to come next with new consoles on the horizon for the competitors, what's going to happen to third party support. There's a lot more worries than there was back then, and it was such a fun time to be a Nintendo fan.
Now, the hype was great. That again, we said it a lot last year, but 2017 was probably one of the best years of gaming just from a Nintendo standpoint because they had so much going on, and that was hype. Hype.
Yeah.
All right, Tyler, over to you.
It kind of a weird one, but I think it was actually a lot of the online gameplay experiences that we were able to have in those early years between you guys and some of my other gamer friends. I hadn't really been able to play Nintendo games with anybody but my brothers for a long time. Nintendo was in the slums. And being able to go on to Mario Kart 8 and play battle mode for hours on end with people was awesome. People that I knew, we had so much fun talking about it today. I still will bring up just how much better I am at you guys than I am at Mario Kart than you guys. It's just a factually accurate statement. I
Wrong.
noticed that you guys have ducked me.
Fake news.
But anyway, the same goes for Splatoon 2. Another game that I have to play with people who I really didn't expect I would ever get to play that type of game with. One of my friends from home got really hooked to Splatoon for a decent amount of time there. My older brother really enjoyed the game. It was just a lot of fun pre-Nintendo Switch Online, even though what they had still wasn't amazing. That idea that the Nintendo community was back. I mean, we had the Wii, but that really was different where there wasn't that online community, and obviously the GameCube didn't really do online play, and the Wii U did. But nobody really had a Wii U. So finally kind of having a Nintendo community to play online with has just been so much fun. It reminded me of the Xbox 360 days in high school where I would go on and play Call of Duty like every other high schooler. There was just something so fun about calling up your friends and saying, hey, hop on, we're playing some video games. And to finally be able to do that with my favorite games, Nintendo games, definitely a high point for me during the 2 years.
Yeah, I can dig that. I mean, the online definitely. We've had a lot of ups and downs in the online department, but
It's really that
Yes.
social experience,
Yeah.
that's what I'm kind of
Yes.
focusing on.
So and like I like the arenas in Smash Brothers. That's how I got to play with you guys, and we seriously need to hook up this weekend to play again. So, but yeah, it's been an interesting online experience, and they're gonna get it even better now that Switch Online is out and they're refining it and possibly adding more games and all that. So here's hoping. All right, my second favorite memory is I'm gonna stick with 2017. I'm gonna stick with another event, E3 2017. Because that E3 was one of the best Nintendo E3s they've ever done, and we were hoping that it would be that would live up to the expectations that we had on it, and they did. They announced when Mario was coming out, Xenoblade more or less was coming out. They showed a bunch of new trailers. They teased a bunch of new games. Even though Metroid Prime 4 is now, being rebooted completely, it was still cool to see that they were doing it. And then, of course, in the Treehouse, they revealed Metroid Samus Returns, which was just as good, even though it was only on 3DS. So from top to bottom, they basically had a perfect thing. And then, of course, the whole booth they had at Nintendo at E3 was Super Mario Odyssey, with them playing Jump Up Superstar, which was a Grammy award-winning song. Not really, but we could still dream. But like it, they set the tone. They said, "Hey, we're showing you what's coming up soon. We're showing what's coming up later." And they did the Pokemon reveal a week before of, "Hey, we're doing a Pokemon Core title, which is now revealed to be Sword and Shield." Oh, by the way, did you guys hear that in Japan they accidentally put gun too?
Yeah, I did.
oopsie. So, but that event was just so good. And me and Tyler were watching this together, and we were freaking out over just about everything they did. And oh, and they had like Yoshi's Woolly World, sorry, a Crafted World, and
Yeah.
they were showing everything that you could possibly have hoped for, and more, short of Smash Brothers, but we all know what when that came out. But for like, we knew that to keep the momentum going and to make sure that people knew what was coming, we needed to know exactly what Nintendo was planning, and they did, and it led to one of the best, years in Nintendo history. So that E3 is always going to stick out in my mind. And even though 2018 was good in context, it wasn't close to 2017. And it makes me hopeful that this year with 2019, that they just drill down and give us all the release dates. They tell us what's coming within the next year, and they better not delay Fire Emblem again.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt that they'll delay Fire Emblem again.
You
That would
never
be,
know. You never know.
that would be so tragic.
That would be tragic, especially after that great 5-minute trailer. So, yeah. All right. Will, how about you?
For me, it's got to be the eve of Super Smash Bros. For Switch releases, because I still remember that night. I was out camping. It was cold. It was also the VGA during that night. Just getting ready for Smash Bros. Release. I was like, okay, gotta handle the cold. Just gotta wait until that midnight release and for the amiibos. And yeah, it was already one thing to wait for Smash for Switch being released during that night with all these characters coming together again. But the fact that we got a VGA award announcement for Smash Bros. And to have Joker
Oh my
announced and
gosh.
for Switch is like, I was losing my mind on that line in Nintendo, New York that night. So I was like, are you serious? They would bring in another third-party character, and that would be a Persona main protagonist of Persona 5. It's like, I was, yeah, if you can't tell, I'm a hardcore fanboying out so hard during that. I was like, the adrenaline was just rushing through me and just like, okay, Smash Bros. Just won the game. Won the game of the year, game for the year. Yeah, game of the century. I don't care. They brought in Joker of Persona 5 in Smash. Just
Yep.
like, everybody on the line was like screaming their heads off, like, bring in Persona 5 Joker into Smash. Reggie knew it, staff knew it, everybody literally did not see this coming. It's like, wowzers.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the fact that we are getting like a Persona representation in this game is like, it's absolutely mad, lad. And like Sakurai, I know you love Persona 5, but to the point of actually putting a protagonist in this game is like, wowzers, wowzers.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was definitely one of my more memorable moments in this. And then the second year is just that release, that announcement is like, It blew my mind. It blew my mind.
And
But
they
that does
handled it.
that.
They handled it perfectly because throughout the Game Awards leading up to it, they had that over-the-top announcer talking about how Smash Bros. Would be coming soon. And the first time I'm like, okay, yeah, they got to promote the game. All the gamers are watching. That's fine. Then they did it again. Then they did it again. Then they did it again. And I'm like, dear gosh, if you don't do the DLC character, and I was tweeting Tyler about this, if they do not do a DLC character reveal, I am going to lose it because this announcer is annoying me to no end. And sure enough, Jeff Keighley was doing an announcement, lights flicked off, and then the Joker reveal came, and I screamed. I'm not even the biggest Persona. I've never played a Persona outside of a fighting game, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, and I was screaming because I'm like, dear gosh, they're putting Joker in the game. So, yeah, that's and that's just the first of five characters that are coming to DLC.
To see here that Reggie said, like, it's gonna be in the same, that's how they're thinking we're going to the DLCs for Smash. Like, who else will also have the same hype factor aside from, I don't know, Sora, Goku, or even Dante? Like, I wonder who else they're gonna bring. So, yeah,
I would lose if they do Goku. I'm not even kidding. I would lose my mind. Oh, gosh. All right, Tyler, you got a tough job ahead of you, but what's your second favorite memory?
I mean, Will, again, stole it. I was going, well, I mean, you know my number one is everyone is here when they announced everyone is here for Smash Bros.
Well, then do that.
Kind of freaking out. But, no, I've talked about that enough. Actually, I want to say that the fact that Nintendo culture has come back through these 2 years, I mean, it was kind of tough sledding to be a Nintendo fan since during the Wii U era and really during the Wii era as well, outside of those initial years. But I've just enjoyed going out and seeing people with a Switch, you know, seeing people play Nintendo games, Nintendo games, going online and kind of being able to be, I mean, I would always be proud to be a Nintendo fan, but seeing other people who before may have looked down upon what Nintendo was doing in the direction that they had gone, people had lost touch with Nintendo, seeing them back in the Nintendo camp is just so much fun to me. And the one kind of moment that really symbolizes this to me is actually that Mario Odyssey ad that they released with the dancers, with Mario kind of walking down the New Donk City streets with the Jump Up Superstar playing in the background. Just kind of seeing that ad and the impact that it had on people with that song charting on the top 20 on iTunes kind of symbolizes the Nintendo fun that they've always meant to me. And kind of seeing other people sharing in that fun again, that's probably actually my number one memory of the first 2 years of Switch.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely feel the Nintendo culture coming back to full power. And I showed you a picture of this last weekend, but when I was at the Comic-Con, I saw an amazing duo cosplay of Pit and Palutena. They were perfect, and the Pit even had his bow able to transform into the swords.
Yeah, oh, so, that's cool.
Oh yeah, and I've seen a lot of Cappies ever since Odyssey. And, you know, Cappy's now like a worldwide phenomenon. Just, like, they even used him to help show the Olympics, if I recall correctly. So.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, so, you know, Nintendo is back at full power. And even though we lost, you know, some people along the way, including Reggie now, you know, these first 2 years of the Switch were just so amazing. All the games, we've actually written a piece. You should be able to read it a few hours after this podcast goes live. We did a piece telling what we feel are the biggest things that helped the Switch get to where it is in its first after its first 2 years, with, you know, 32. Well, where were we at? 32 million in sales or something like that,
and
like
there.
Yeah, about 200 million software sales. So, you know, it's been an eventful 2 years. So. All right, let's wrap this up right here, right now. Best game on Switch of the first 2 years.
Celeste.
I knew you'd say Celeste. I knew you'd say Celeste.
For me, Odyssey.
Yeah. I am going to have to go with Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. I'm kidding. I am going to have to go with Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I'm kidding. I should, just to tick off Tyler.
I was about to strangle you.
I'm gonna. Okay, honestly, well and truly, I will go with Breath of the Wild. I know it's cliche, but it set the standard.
Yeah,
And
it
you know,
did.
I might actually, that might be the game I go back to and start playing again just because
Better
it was
idea than
so
Xenoblade Chronicles
grand.
2.
So, what was that?
That's a better idea than Xenoblade Chronicles
Oh,
2.
shut up, Tyler. Just because you don't like the game doesn't mean that I can't like the game. That's called difference of opinion,
No, you can
y'all.
like the game. You can like the game. I respect your opinion. Doesn't make it not bad.
Well, in that case, I think Sonic looks great.
Yeah.
Oh, my heart! Heart attack. No. So yeah, but it's been a very interesting 2 years, and here's to year three. We're honestly, even though we had the, actually, yes, I guess Mario and Mario Deluxe U and No More Heroes is part of year two. So now that year three is out, we can look forward to Yoshi, which is coming out in a few weeks. And then look forward to June with Mario Maker 2, July with Fire Emblem, and on and on and on. So, Nintendo, don't let us down, or else. We know where you live. All right. Well, technically we do. All right. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you how excited you were for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and 23% of you said you've already pre-ordered it. 62% said it looks good, 15% were not sold and said they need to see more, and 0% said the game looks bad.
Okay, wait, what was that? Tell me the third one percentage again.
15% for I need to see more.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, yeah. I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
it was really only a teaser trailer,
it was.
so, I mean, we only saw three new Pokemon, including the best one, Scorbunny. So,
All right, I mean, that's just factually inaccurate, but.
really, because I'm pretty sure on the article title it said truth, and in capital letters, no less.
Yeah,
So
but the other article, by the way, the other article that drove the most poll votes
but
said
did not have the
facts.
most tweets.
Said facts.
And facts can be fake. We've all heard of fake news, Tyler,
No,
but
yeah,
truth
but
is
that see, that's
undeniable.
wow. So you don't think that facts are facts? That's shocking.
It's
I am
called communism,
I
Tyler.
am disappointed.
Oh, jeez.
Communism. I tell the truth what I think it is, or I tell the facts like I think they are. So truth is truth, like truth, justice in the American way.
The truth is in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, you can't handle the truth, Tyler. That's what I thought. And you can't handle the truth because you would dare not face it. Ha 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 ha. All right, I'll stop. All right. Truth be told, I'm kidding. All right, for our next poll question, let's just keep it simple and go with the 2 year anniversary of the Switch. What has been your favorite part of the Switch the last 2 years? A, the games. B, the portability of the console. C, the online features, or D, the return of the Nintendo community. Sound good? All right. All right, so go ahead and vote on that. We will let you know what you think, what you said next week. And of course, let us know what you thought about all the news today about Devil May Cry maybe coming to Switch, about the Pokemon mobile games, how well they're doing. Can you comprehend what's going on in Mortal Kombat 11? Don't blame me if you can't. Persona 5. Do you mourn the loss of Sonic the Hedgehog? and everything else. So yeah, we look forward to talking to you next week. So for Tellius Tyler, Warrior Will, I'm Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.